Father, I thank you so much for the growth that we have seen here on Sunday night. And it would be my joy, Lord, that we could fill up this intersection as Pastor Pete teaches us from your word. Lives are changed by that word. You tell us that no word from your Bible will return void. And so, Lord, as we look at Joseph, one of my ultimate favorite characters, that, Lord, you will reveal the journey that he took and see where we can fit into our journeys looking at the life of Joseph. I pray that you'd bless the hearts and Holy Spirit. Your responsibility is to reveal the word, and so we ask you to join us. And Lord, show us, share with us something that we haven't even thought of. We do want to praise you and thank you for this time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I can see in one eye, can't see out of the other one. Okay, that's God humbly be at my tender age. So I'm going to skip some passages only because I'll paraphrase them just so it allows us to get, because I've got 37, and we're going to go to 45, but we're not going to read every word. I'm going to skip just to get the highlights, and then where I don't read directly out of the word, I'll paraphrase what is missing there. All right, we're at Psalm 37, and the first thing that I have as a topic or a heading says, Joseph dreams of greatness. Now, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhad and the sons of Zilpah. Now, that's the concubines of Leah and Rachel. Thank you. And so he was hanging with them. Those people were his wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, that would be encouraging to a father who needs to know the truth, but I don't think the brothers were too happy about it because they didn't want the father to know what was going on out there. But Joseph was good about bringing his father a good report. Now, Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, it could be a tunic, it could be a coat, it could be a jacket with long sleeves. When we discussed this in our group, we had three or four different descriptions of this coat of many colors. But there was something about it that set it off, that it irked the brothers. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him then more than all his brethren, the brothers hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then, behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this dream, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he had told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is the dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And the brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is very interesting. Even though Dad rebuked him, he wanted to keep that dream in his mind. And if you know the story of Joseph, everything comes to pass as Joseph predicted in this dream. Okay, now Joseph is sold by his brothers. I have this as verse 12. Then his brothers went to the field there, their father's flock in Shechem. Then his brothers went to feed their flock, to the father's flock in Shechem. Israel asked Joseph to spy out his brothers. He was told they left Shechem and went to Dothan. Now, when he got to Shechem, there was a man in the field. And he said, have you seen? And he said that my brothers were here and they had sheep with them. And the gentleman that was out there was a messenger from the Lord and says, yes, he's gone to Dothan. And so that was, again, I believe God guiding him. And so he followed them to Joseph. Now, while Joseph was far off, his brothers plotted against him. Now, this is the area that I paraphrase because the brothers saw him coming, and we'll see what happened. And I have this at verse 10. Then the brothers said to one another, look, the dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Now, Reuben has an interesting part in this, and we'll see as we go along. But he wanted to save Joseph. He didn't want Joseph to be killed or left there, and he was just going to come back and bail him out. And then verse 25, and they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Now that was somebody who was very much there for Joseph, and he wanted the best of the worst situation to be in his hand. Ooh, thank you, Annie. I can see it now. And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now, have you heard anywhere else about the sale of 20 or 30 shekels of silver? Does that ring a bell at all? What's that? Judah? Judah? Judas. Oh, the betrayal of Christ was 30 pieces of silver. So that's the connection I wanted to make. In fact, if you were to go back and put Joseph and Jesus in two columns and then go down and write the comparisons, how many do you think you'd have? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, over 100 comparisons in the relationship, parallel relationship between Joseph and Jesus. I think it's E.W. Pink. He's a Bible teacher, and he lists every one of them. So if you want to research it, Father, further, then I would have you talk to him. Okay, so 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Now I have listed there 29. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore or rent his clothes, and he returned to his brother and says, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? In other words, he was very distraught. And he wanted to know what was up. Okay, so next they took, before they let him go, they took that tunic, that jacket, that coat. of many colors, or jacket with long sleeves. And then verse 33, and he, Jacob, recognized it and said, okay, while the brothers, when they sold him, they took his jacket, they dipped it in animal's blood, and they carried it back to Jacob, Israel, and showed it to him. And this is going to be his response. And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob rent his clothes, or tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now I want you to put yourself in the place of the brothers, and you've just done this dirty deed, and now you go home, and here's your father's distraught. And he was more than distraught. He was in mourning as if he had lost it. How would we respond when we were told a lie, that the son is dead? Okay, now verse 38. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So the Midianite travelers, traders, moved into Egypt and sold Joseph to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. Now he was right under the Pharaoh. Now we're going to skip to chapter 39 of Genesis, and we're going to look at Joseph, a slave in Egypt. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. We're going to find that in every situation that Joseph encounters, the Lord is always with him. Now, you may be able to argue with me that it didn't appear that the Lord was with him, but we know that God blessed him in each situation, and he had a plan for him. Then Potiphar made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under Joseph's authority. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord bless the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. So there was such trust by Potiphar that he didn't even know what he had. But he saw right up there that Joseph was able to handle the budget and all of his possessions better than he could. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Okay, verse 8, but Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Wait a minute. Are you sinning against God? Are you sinning against Potiphar? Or are you sinning against Potiphar's wife? We all know that our sin is directly against God. Okay, verse 18. So it was when his master heard the words. Okay, I want to tell you the story. When Potiphar's wife had a chance, she sent all of the servants out, and it was just him and Joseph in the house. She cornered him and said, lie with me. He said, no. He tried to run out. Well, he did run out, and she grabbed the coat. Okay, now she's told the story to Potiphar, and this is the reaction. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now, wait a minute. Did he do anything wrong? He did leave his jacket there, but he got out of the situation as quickly as he could, leaving the jacket. Okay, so we've got a deceptive wife, and she tells the husband a lie. And what should have happened to Joseph is he should have been put to death. But instead, he was a wise enough man to know that there's something else that's going on here. And so instead of putting Joseph to death, he puts him in prison. That takes us to chapter 40, the prisoner's dream. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offered the Lord, the king of Egypt, offended the Lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. Now, one thing that I didn't say is in the part that we skipped is that now Joseph is in prison, but he's in charge of everything under the gatekeeper. There isn't anybody higher than the gatekeeper, and Joseph's responsibility were right under his. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard and in prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Okay, so Joseph sees them, and they're downtrodden. They've got the boo-boo face, and he says to them, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each had a dream, and there was no interpreter of it." So Joseph's response was, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me, please." Now, the dreams were, they paralleled. The baker and the butler each were down 3 days, and one was restored, and one was hanged. Now, it was the butler that was restored, and it was the baker who was hanged. Now, and so the interpretations were exactly correct, and in 3 days, everything that Joseph predicted from reading the dreams happened. Now, my question to you, do you know of any other situation that had to do with 3 days? What's that? Okay, he was in the grave for 3 days. Anything else? Jonah, 3 days. Thank you, Russ. In fact, I was told to tell you that we won in Seattle, but you didn't do so well on Sunday, so I'm really sorry for your 49ers, but I was just told that. three days, they'll rise again. They may rise again, but it ain't going to happen this year. You may lose your coach. Okay, enough of that. That's sidetracked. I'm sorry, Lord. Okay? So the baker and the butler had similar dreams. They were 3 days. I thought that 3 days was interesting. The butler was restored, and the baker was hanged. And it tells us in the Bible story about this that once the baker heard the great news of the butler, that he was excited to get his answer, but his answer wasn't very good. He ended up being hanged. Okay, now I'm skipping to chapter 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Now we know that he had parallel dreams again. There was 7 fat cows and 7 sickly lean cows, and the sickly lean ones gobbled up the fat ones. And then he woke up, and then he had another dream, and there was a stalk that was plump and good, and then there was a second stalk that was thin and blighted, and in each case, the weaker ate the stronger and the one that was most healthy. Now, I was thinking about that. The weaker ate the stronger. We have in this story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a situation where it wasn't the firstborn that went forth, it was the secondborn. Jacob and Esau, Esau was firstborn, Jacob was second. The Lord set Esau aside, and it was through Jacob. And then we get to, I just had another one pop into my mind. Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. I don't know right now off the top. I think it's Manasseh, then Ephraim. Well, God, when Jacob gave the blessing to Joseph's sons, he gave it to the younger. So here's the case. The weaker or the younger one is usurping the older one. And then in verse 9, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. Now, of course, when Joseph gave the interpretation of the dreams, he encouraged the butler to say something about that to Pharaoh, well, I assume with the hope of being removed from where he was working at this time. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief butler, we each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged the baker. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought Joseph up quickly out of the dungeons. They shaved him, they changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. Verse 16, so Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me to interpret dreams, but God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Verse 25. Things are too small for me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now, I didn't even talk about, I did talk about that, okay? The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are also 7 years, and the 70 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. So in both cases, we have 7 years of prosperity, and we have 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will rise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and that turned out to be Joseph. Verse 27, Joseph's rise to power. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a wise man as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. So this is interesting. He started out in a pit, after explaining the dream he had, and now he has journeyed from the pit to the second command in Egypt. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Is that number 30? Yes, sir. Okay. What do you mean? No, it was the same Pharaoh, and the time span from the time he was removed from the pit, he was 17, and when he got this position, he's 30. So there was 13 years that he was making this transition through the work at the Potiphar's house, through the work in the prison as number two in the prison, and any of those things. So his journey was 13 years. Okay, that now the Pharaoh's number one guy, the prison's highest guard was Potiphar. Okay, so he threw him in the prison, and he became number two in the prison, not below Potiphar, but before the keeper of the prison. Okay, but Pharaoh was still in charge that whole 13-year period. Now, when you get into Exodus, Pharaoh's change. It was 400 years, and that was part of the problem, but it was all God's plan. Okay, 30 years old. Does that make any ring any bell? Jesus, uh-huh. And it was 30 years that he started his ministry. Excellent. Okay, I think the next one is verse 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now, it's interesting that he calls that 13-year transition, God made me forget all my toil and all my father's. So he doesn't remember what he went through, because God helped him forget that, and he has also forgot his father's house, knowing that this is a situation and God has a plan, and he's going to hang with it. And the name of the second, it's interesting that he named his first son Manasseh, and that's what Manasseh means. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now I jump to verse 59, I think. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. Now we know, in the area that I skipped, that he took 20% of everything that was produced during that seven-year period, and they stored it in any every place that he possibly could, so that when the famine came, and he believed that it would come, that they would have enough food to get through the famine. The famine was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in the land. Okay, now we're going to move to chapter 42, and we're going to have Joseph's first encounter with his brothers. So Joseph's ten brothers, this is verse 3. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. So he still has a tender spot for the loss of Joseph, and he doesn't want anything to happen to his last son. Joseph was very tough on his brothers. He called them spies. He said that they're here to to spy out the land and take advantage of it. And, of course, they were ready to defend themselves. He called them spies. He threw one of the brothers in prisons for 3 days. So here's that three-day thing. He sent them away with grain and their money in each of their sacks. Verse 13, and they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Then Joseph said to them the third day, this is verse 18. Then Joseph said to them the third day, and they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, his distress has come upon us. So there's some guilty conscience there, and this gives us a little insight in how the 72-year-old handled it. He pleaded with them to not do this cruel thing, but they wouldn't hear. And now they're feeling that which they sowed is coming back on them. And then Joseph sends them away in verse 37. Then Reuben spoke to his father. Oh, they returned to Canaan. And when they got to Canaan, they opened their sacks. They found all the money was in the sack. And, of course, that scared them to death. They knew they were in trouble. But when they got back, they spoke to their father. The Reuben spoke to his father saying, now they've enjoyed, I don't know what the length of time is, they've had plenty of food, and all of a sudden the food ran out. And so Jacob, Israel says, we need you to go back, take the money that they gave back to us, take double portion, and go back and see this man in Egypt and buy more food for us. And but Dad was he didn't want to give Benjamin up, and that was the only way they could return to Egypt is if they brought Benjamin with them. And then Reuben spoke up to his father, saying, kill my two sons if I do not bring Benjamin back to you, and him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. And Israel said, my son shall not go down with you. So Israel is playing the leader, and he wants to take Ben, but Dad does not want Ben to go. So, chapter 43, we are going to look at Joseph's brother's return with Benjamin. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us not to return without Benjamin. And Israel said, why did you deal so, that's Jacob, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell a man whether you had still another brother? Then Judah said to Israel's father, send the lad with me. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I just said that Reuben was willing to give up his two sons, and he was willing. And interesting that Reuben and Judah were both involved in trying to protect Joseph before the brothers sold him. Then Judah said to Jacob, Israel's father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go. Verse 16, so the men took the presents and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. It said that they took some of the things that they had available to them down there. They had nuts. They had the dates, and they took what they had with them as a gesture of goodwill, as they were to go and see this second command, Joseph. Then they were led, once they got there, by an Egyptian to go to Joseph's house, and it's going to be in this situation where going to begin the revelation that this man that's tormenting the brothers is really their brother. And it says, peace, then this, and I thought this was very interesting, verse 23, but he, the Egyptian, said, peace be with you, brothers. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasures in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simon out to them. So Simon was the one that they kept in Egypt while the other brothers went back and had the food. And I will willing to bet you that he lived and had all the goodies that Simeon could have wanted. Then in verse 28, then he, Joseph, lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this young brother of whom you speak to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart, Joseph's heart for his brother, now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep, and he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. Now, I just had a thought about our little group when we went through this. I could see him crying. That's very simple to me, but why would he have to wash his face? I guess he'd try to get some tears off. But you know, when you cry, your eyes are bloodshot, and you're going to show it. And then somebody in our group said, but you know, the Egyptians, was that you, Ross? That they wore some funky weight makeup. And so as the movie stars all complain about the tears messing up their eye makeup, I'm sure that's what happened, and that was the reason why he had to wash his face. I don't know anything about that. I just have observed my wife. Okay, chapter 44. This is Joseph's cup. And verse 2, it says, and when they packed up to go, that he put Joseph's cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money. So they gave him back the money, and he also put Joseph's cup in there. In verse 6, so he overtook them. That is the Egyptian that was the spokesman for Joseph. And he spoke to those these same words, with whomever of your servants the cup is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. So this was a response to what the Egyptian had said. And we know that they started at the oldest and went to the youngest. And when he searched the sack of the youngest, which was Benjamin, the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. Now, it was Judah who became the spokesman. And verse 18, then Judah came near to Joseph and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak. And so he begins to give him the all the details from start to finish. He explains to Joseph that they didn't mean any harm, that they aren't spies, and that there was a pretty good defense going on. Okay, let's go to chapter 45, because I messed up the bottom part of that. But the whole thing is Judah interceded for Benjamin because he didn't want Benjamin to be thrown in jail or to die. And 45 is where Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Now, there was no common mixture between Egyptians and Hebrews, and so he chased everybody out, and I believe that Joseph spoke Egyptian, so the brothers weren't able to understand what he was saying, and they weren't able to make the association that that it was his brother. Then Joseph, in verse 2, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. So Joseph sees the fact and the reason for him being in Egypt and for all those things happening, it was to protect the 70 Hebrews that come out of Canaan. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. When they returned to pick up Israel and bring him back, in verse 8, then Israel said, is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go with this story. But in one of the later chapters, there's 50 chapters in Genesis, Joseph talks to his brothers and says, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And we can see that. Now, the question that I ask our Thursday night group is, so what? What did you hear from the story of Joseph? Or what does it say to you? Or what do you take away from this story? This is a responsive question. It's not rhetorical. That's the whole thing. That's excellent. What else? Oh, he was talking about don't badmouth those who do you harm, because it's God using that trial to polish you and prepare you for something else.